And so there's all through the Old Testament, and that's kind of what we're doing, just kind of going through the Old Testament and looking at pictures of Christ, of the work of God and the heart of God that he is revealing to his people. See, a lot of people look at the Old Testament and they think that's a different God than we see in the New Testament. But Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They are the same God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are same in purpose. Their heart is the same. Their will is the same. And it's sometimes it's hard for us to reconcile that in our mind. But when you begin to look at the pictures in the Old Testament, you see the intent and the heart of God the Father coming through. His plan and his purpose. And today we're going to look at the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Anybody remember what the two trees were? One was the tree of life, and the other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to look at these two trees. One of them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, represents God's giving us choice. We get to choose. Now, that was God's plan. That was God's ideal, is choice. Some people say, well, why did he give us choice? And I think the main reason is that he didn't want a bunch of robots that he programmed to just love him. I mean, would you like to have your spouse programmed to love you? I heard a yes. I love you. Give me a kiss. Yes, dear. You get sick. You get sick of that bag of bolts after a while. No, you want someone to love you because they choose to love you. And God desired that we choose to love him. Therefore, he decided in his plan to give us the choice of whether to or not to. His will is always for us to choose him and to love him. But in giving that, he had to give us the choice of not to. But even in this, there is a picture, because God knew what we would choose. Before the foundation of the world. See, Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And before he ever implemented the plan and set it into place, he knew what we would choose. And if he had been the mean, mean God that a lot of people think that he is, he would have never made provision for us to have a second chance. But he gives us a second chance, and this is through Jesus. And this is pictured in the second tree called the tree of life. Now, the tree of life kind of represents the cross and the work of the cross. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a contrast to the tree of life and the cross, or the tree of life. And we're going to look at that and see how they are different. But know this, that God's intent towards us is love. And this is revealed even in the choice. He does not make our choices for us. See, there's two kinds of people in the world. Only two. There are those people who say to God, Lord, your will be done. Then there are those who reject God, and God says to them, your will be done. See, God carries out, in the end, our choice. God sends no one to hell. He doesn't send people to hell. He just carries out their choice. And this is why that the sin of rejecting the only begotten Son of God is the worst sin that can be committed. In fact, it says that those who reject him are condemned already. So rejecting Christ is the worst thing. It's the highest sin that there is. It's worse than any sin that you can think of. In fact, I believe that this probably the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is rejecting Christ. So So he sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, choose life that you may live. But he did give us a choice, and he does not make our choices for us. But even, I start to say, to those who made the wrong choice, we all did. In Adam, we all made the wrong choice. He has made provision for us to have that second chance, for us to choose the tree of life. And by choosing the tree of life, it's by choosing the cross and the work of the cross. So we're going to look at some things. I've got about six things I want to share with you real quick. So we're going to look at the two trees, and we're going to contrast the two trees. The tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the cross, or the tree of life. Okay, the first tree was planted by God. It says in Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life is also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. The second tree was planted by man. The cross was planted by man. And it says in Matthew 27:35, and they crucified him. Talking about men. They crucified him and parted his garments and casting lots. It was men that crucified Christ. Now, it was God's plan, but it's men that carried it out. So there is a contrast in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God planted it in the garden. In fact, the other tree was planted in the garden also. And the second thing is that the first tree was pleasant to the eyes. In fact, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Why did she eat? Because it was appealing. It was appealing to the eyes. The second tree was not. In the prophetic scripture in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, talking about Jesus. This is Isaiah by the Spirit of God looking forward to Jesus and the cross. It says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There is nothing beautiful about the cross. There's nothing appealing about the cross from the physical standpoint. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The third thing is that God forbid man to eat of the first tree. He says in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. He says, don't eat it. Don't eat of it. In fact, he goes on to say, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The second tree, he has freely invited all men to come and to partake of. And it says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we are invited freely to partake of Christ, to partake of that tree of life, or that water, that living water. We're invited by God to do that. Forbidden to do the one, invited to do the other. The next thing is that because God forbid man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan did everything in his power, every allurement, every enticement to get man to eat of that tree. He attacked, he came at him through Eve, and he appealed to all of the five physical senses. He made it alluring and attractive. And he deceived and brought sin into the world. And because God freely invites all men to partake of the second tree, Satan does everything within his power. He uses every enticement and every allurement that there is to keep man from partaking of that tree. In fact, you remember the parable of the sower, where it talks about the sower sows the word, and it talks about all of the things that is used as distraction. You know, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the persecution that is used to keep man from partaking of this second tree, this tree of life or the cross. And why is that? Because it's through the cross that we have life. These testimonies that were lined up before you today, and I want to say again, as I said in the first service, I admire the transparency of people that are willing to show their hearts and to show what God has done in their lives. See, that is part of their healing. You know, it's when we hide our sin, when we hide our past, that many times we don't overcome it. But one of the big steps is admitting certain things and coming clean with yourself and with God and other people and being willing to be transparent. It is part of recovery and healing in life. See, Satan cannot use shame. He cannot use shame to trick you up. If you're transparent, you say, well, people might judge me. They might. But if they do, they have problems. I want to say that again. People who would judge someone for sharing their heart and showing what God has done and hold that against them, they have problems. You know that one of that said judgmental? There's a lot of judgmental people out there. But thank God, and don't let the Satan ever condemn you for being transparent. I don't care what people say about you or say to you. Transparency is part of our overcoming. Amen. That's one of the things that makes the 12 steps, celebrate recovery, those type of programs, that is one of the powerful things in it, is because you do examination of your heart and then you confess. You confess. And then that's how you get it out of you so that you can begin to overcome. So Satan will use anything he can to keep you from partaking of the cross. He'll do anything that he can to keep you from partaking of life, because it's through Christ, it's through the cross, it's through the life that's in that sets you free to be what God has designed you to be. Amen. Okay. The eating of the first tree brought sin and death. Because it says in Genesis 2:17, "For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." The second tree brings salvation and life. In John 6:53, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, there's a twofold thing here. See, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." See, I believe that that's not only talking about heaven, it's talking about now. We can have life now and we can have abundant life now. But if in this life only we have hope, we are among men most miserable. Our better days are ahead of us, not behind us. Whatever blessings that you're walking in now, your better days are ahead of you. Whatever trials you're going through now, listen, if you're a believer in Christ, your better day is ahead of you. For those who do not know Christ and reject this second tree, this is as good as it will ever get now. Your better days are not ahead. They are now. You say, well, this is hell on earth. Wait till you see what hell in hell is like. You won't like it. That's why Satan fights so hard you partaking of the cross of Christ. He'll tell you, you know what? You don't need that. Just be a good person. Just keep the Ten Commandments. Just follow the golden rule. Just treat other people like you want to be treated and you'll be okay. That's one of the lies that the enemy uses to keep people from partaking of this second tree, the cross. See, it's in the cross only that I have hope. It's in the power of His cross, what He did, that gives me life and that gives me hope and that brings the reality and gives me a secure future that I have only in Him. Amen again. If you don't amen me, I'll amen myself. The last thing is that man, by eating the first tree, was turned out of paradise. The ultimate thing was that God took Adam and Eve and He kicked them out of the garden. But here's the reality. Remember the thief on the cross? Remember the thief on the cross? You know what he said to Jesus? You know, the one thief ridiculed Jesus and rejected Him. The other thief took up for Jesus and said, "This man has done no evil. He doesn't deserve to die. You and I deserve to die, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he turns to Him and he says, "Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom." You know what Jesus said to him? He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they got kicked out of paradise. By partaking of this other tree, they freely entered in to paradise. See, it only comes down to choice. It doesn't come down to just living a good life. It comes down to a choice of eating that second tree, of by faith embracing what Christ has done on His cross. See, you can think that just coming to church makes you okay, makes you a better person, makes you fit for the kingdom. That's not true. It's not a church that saves you. It's not membership in a church that saves you. It's not serving in a church. It's not attending church. It's by having a personal relationship with the one who died for me and for you. It's by eating of that second tree that we'll have life and life more abundantly. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. I want us to pray. I don't want this to just be a religious thing. But here's the thing. You know whether or not you have consciously and on purpose partaken of Christ. I'm not talking about mental assent. I'm not just talking about something you did mentally. I'm talking about something you do from your heart, where you say, "Jesus, I receive you into my life. I partake of that tree." Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where we try to understand what's good and what's evil, and we try to, you know, live a good life and stay away from evil. I don't know about you as a Christian, but I don't live perfect. I mess up sometimes. I have a bad attitude sometimes. I want to be judgmental sometimes. I want to be critical sometimes. I cop a tude every now and then. So if it's on performance, I fall short. I fall way short. I'm not embracing the knowledge of good and evil. I'm trusting what he did. See, somebody asked Billy Graham one time, says, Billy, said, you've probably won more people to Christ than any other living soul. One of these days you're going to stand before God. What are you going to say to God? Billy said, I'm going to say, I plead the blood. Amen. He realizes that it's not his good works. And if anybody's done good works, if we're comparing among ourselves, which we're not supposed to do, he's done good things. But you know what? It's not enough to pay for his sin. You can't pay for your sin. You owed a debt you could not pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. It was yours. And when you accept him, you're released from that debt. You're released from that power of sin in your life. And you enter into a relationship with Christ that will transform you. So as we pray today, and maybe you're here and you've never received that, or maybe you have and you've wandered away from it and you just need to come back. Every one of these people know how to pray about this deal. And this is the only thing I want to pray about right now. After we get response from this one, and then if you have other needs, you can come. But wait. There may be, I think there's people here today that need to make that step to receive Christ. So as I pray, and that's you, you come. Father, thank you so much today. Thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you that you're a good God. And Lord, your intent is not to judge us, but to bless us. Lord, you said if you were lifted up, you draw all men to you. You were lifted up on a cross, and we have lifted that cross and the truth of that cross in this service today. I'm trusting you to draw those to you. Amen. Would you come as he sings?